This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:03. It's great to have you with us for the Monday edition of the Noon Business Hour. I'm Cisco Cotto. The Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park. Stock Picker Monday, that's coming up at 12:49. Right now, the pandemic stimulus package expected to pass Congress today. Let's see what it may do for the economy. Diane Swonk is here, chief economist at Grant Thornton here in Chicago. Diane, I mean, we're getting some of the details about this package. Some of it we're not yet quite sure on, but what you've heard is it's sounding like this will be good for the economy.
Well, it certainly is necessary. I think it's important to provide additional money, not only through supplements to unemployment insurance. Those will only last until March 14th, and that won't get us to the end of the COVID crisis. We don't expect to hit herd immunity, even with the most aggressive and perfect, you know, distribution of the vaccine until June or July, probably not until well into the third quarter. So I think that's important to remember, that we can't fully reopen the economy and get unleash that pent-up demand out there until we get to that place. So that's one issue, but it is much needed. There's also funds, though, for people to apply via state level that they're going to distribute to the states for rent relief. And we know many people are close to eviction. They're behind on their rents. This will help landlords that are owed that money, as well as people stay in their homes or in their apartments. I think that's very important, too. There's some funding, too, for SNAP, which is sort of the old food stamps program. It allows people to buy food at grocery stores. But again, you got to apply for all this. The good news is for state and local governments is funding. There's a much more holistic funding on vaccinations, distribution, testing, tracing, and all the things that we need to really mitigate spread of the virus and more fully open the economy until we get to that herd immunity. And that's going to be important. There's also a lot of funding for schools to not only reopen, but we're going to need funding for schools to actually catch up on what was lost in education. We know low-income households in particular didn't One in four students didn't even have access to the kinds of online education that also was not doing well for a lot of students out there. So they'll need to catch up on their educational attainment, and we want to make sure we bring those students back into the fold. There's also funding for higher education institutions, because they were hit hard by this crisis too, and we want more students to get their educational attainment, because that is really important. The problems are that we'll have to come and revisit these things again as we get into the spring. And, you know, I'm optimistic about a vaccine. That's always a good thing on the horizon, but it can't cure all that ails us. Some of the damages and wounds inflicted by COVID are festering, and the risk is that they leave deeper scars, and we want to avoid that at all costs as we try to get this economy back going again.
Briefly, is there a challenge here with, obviously, I mean, we need the aid, we need the help in order to prop up the economy for at least the next 6 months or more, but you have President-elect Biden saying this is just the beginning, he wants more stimulus, you have the original stimulus. At some point, does all of this spending become a problem for the economy, the value of the dollar, inflation, deflation, that sort of thing?
Well, it certainly isn't yet, and I think when we look back on this, we'll worry more about what we didn't do rather than what we did do. And when interest rates are negative interest rates and after adjusting for inflation, this is a good deal for the U.S. economy in terms of keeping it open and getting it back up and running again. We're not at that stage yet. And frankly, until I see this economy, some of the pent-up demand unleashed and it more fully, sustainably reopened, that's when we start worrying about how much more do we need, and, you know, do we have to worry about dialing it back? I'm not worried about the Fed having the tools it needs to fight inflation. I'm much more worried about the Fed having the tools it needs to get this economy back to where it was. It alone cannot do that. It requires fiscal stimulus from the federal government to block some of the cuts that are inevitable at the state and local level, even with this package.
Thanks so much. Always good to talk with you. That is Diane Swonk, chief economist at Grant Thornton here in Chicago. Just ahead, it's apparently a great time to be a renter in Chicago. A growing number of landlords in Chicago are offering deals in their efforts to attract renters. Albie Galoon is joining us, senior reporter at Crain's Chicago Business. Albie, it's always good to have you on the show. So if someone's looking to move downtown and they're looking to rent, now is a pretty good time.
Yeah, hi, Cisco. Yeah, it's a very good time, probably the best time in 20 or 30 years, because, you know, landlords are just having a hard time filling up their buildings. The downtown occupancy rate has dropped to 87%, and which is as low as it's been in at least 22 years. And so what happens when demand falls? You lower the price, and that's what landlords are doing.
If you want to move downtown, if you're a renter and you're looking for an apartment, what kind of deals can you get? I mean, in general, what are landlords offering?
So it's not atypical to hear of buildings that are offering 2 months free over a 12-month lease, 3 months free. So if you have if you sign a lease with a landlord that's offering 2 months without having to pay rent, that's a 17% discount. So that's fairly typical. In my reporting, I ran across some buildings offering 4 months free over an 18-month lease or a 24-month lease. So it's a great time to be a tenant right now looking for an apartment.
Is this allowing some people to move into neighborhoods that they otherwise wouldn't be able to move into?
Yeah, I think so. You're seeing tenants who maybe thought they couldn't afford to live downtown who are taking a closer look at it and finding deals. Absolutely. And you're also it's creating opportunities for people to trade up to nicer buildings with more amenities or bigger apartments. Obviously, these days, space is at a premium. A lot of people are working at home. So they need more space to work at home. They might want an extra bedroom or, an office where they can work. So with the rents coming down as much as they are, or the incentives that are being offered, they can afford more space.
Any idea how long it might last? I mean, I guess it depends on the pandemic and demand, because a lot of people are thinking, man, I have to pay movers in order to move into a building. If in a year it gets back to normal, then I have to pay again to move out.
Yeah, I mean, it is hard to say. Obviously, with two vaccines being rolled out right now, there's reason to be optimistic about the economy and optimistic about demand for real estate. This isn't going to last forever. And, you know, once companies, you know, we're talking here about downtown for the most part. Once downtown employers start bringing people back to the office, you're going to see demand for apartments come back, and, you know, it could come back pretty strong. That's not going to happen in the next 6 months, but, you know, maybe 12 months down the road, I think you could see the market coming back, and it could come back pretty strongly.
Good insight. Thanks so much. Appreciate you joining us. As always, Albie Galoon, senior reporter at Crain's Chicago Business. Just ahead, Walmart trying to make your holiday gift returns a lot easier. And remember, Stock Picker Monday coming up at 12:49.
The best daily deal in Chicago, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Walmart is trying to solve one of the bigger hassles of online shopping, returning items. Joining us on the ComEd Energy Efficiency Business Line, Jennifer Waters, senior reporter for CoStar News here in Chicago. Jennifer, so is this Walmart trying to make it easier for consumers to return things? What are they doing here?
Yes. Hey, Cisco. Walmart is trying to make it easier for people to return things, but moreover, it's trying to make it easier on itself to accept those returns and get them. This will probably cost them a little bit more money, but they have done gangbusters this year, so I'm sure they're probably in an affordable period to do this. But part of the reason is because we are expecting more returns than ever before this year because so many people have shopped online. And you know how that is. You get something that looks pretty on a computer, but then you get it home and you're like, whoa, what is this? So we're going to see a lot of returns. And Walmart just, you know, Walmart, as it said in its press release today, it knows that, you know, it doesn't want a lot of people coming into the stores because we still have this COVID-19 very much, you know, in play here. So this is helping them get returns in a safe manner, keep their customers safe, keep their employees safe, and then also being able to better manage the returns.
Well, and that's probably huge, right, on the back end. When you actually get the return, being able to get it, put it back where it needs to be, that ends up saving them money in the long run.
Yeah, absolutely. God, they're talking about something like 5 billion tons of returns end up in landfills each year. So that's huge, too. That can help them stop, you know, something like that from happening. But the other important thing to remember here about returns is that people started shopping, you know, in October we've talked about this. People started shopping in October and having things shipped and such, and they're giving the gifts out, you know, 3 months later. So, you know, return policies are usually 30 days, and a lot of retailers have extended their return policies to go from if you purchase something in October, and now you can have till December 31st or mid-December to return it January 31st or mid-January to return it, because I realize a lot of people aren't going to even get their gifts till Christmas Day.
Yeah, that's going to be really good for people to be able to, via FedEx, have this whole process be easier. It seems like that may spur people to be more willing to try buying more things online if they know, hey, if I don't like it, it's easy to return it.
Bingo. Yeah, that's exactly it. And you know, a lot of times people don't return things just because they're lazy or they forget. I'm in both those ballparks. But, you know, I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, if they can, you know, Walmart has done a stellar job, as is Target and Costco and Best Buy, in getting their customers what they needed this year, getting them to them, whether it be through delivery, through curbside, through in-store, getting them what they need, however they want it, when they want it. And this is just, you know, an extension of that that really does help their business, too, and helps the loyalty of their customers.
Thanks so much, Jennifer Waters, senior reporter, CoStar News here in Chicago. Still ahead, how the independent grocer is thriving during the pandemic.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon. I'm Cisco Cotto. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. Congress is expected to pass a pandemic relief bill today. The U.S. government files charges against another suspected conspirator in the bombing of a Pan Am flight over Scotland 3 decades ago. More people are turning to independent neighborhood groceries during the pandemic. It's Stock Picker Monday at 12:49. We'll get a couple of ideas from an investing pro. WBBM business mixed markets, the Dow up 48, NASDAQ down 33, and the S&P is down 16 points. Oil is down 3.3%. We have sunshine in Chicagoland, a chance for some light scattered rain showers this afternoon, but not seeing anything on the radar right now. 44 at O'Hare, 42 degrees along Chicago's lakefront. Lawmakers in Washington are set to vote on a $900 billion pandemic relief package today, correspondent Julie Walker.
Under the agreement, $300 weekly unemployment benefits, $600 stimulus checks to most Americans, and a new round of subsidies for hard-hit businesses. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell.
More help is on the way.
While Democrats say it's the largest spending measure yet, it wasn't as robust as the country needs. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer.
This bill will not be the final word on congressional COVID relief.
The deal also offers money for schools, health care providers, and renters facing eviction. Lawmakers eager to leave Washington are likely to vote today. I'm Julie Walker.
Attorney General William Barr says the U.S. is charging a third person, a man from Libya, for his role in the bombing of a Pan Am flight over Lockerbie, Scotland in 1988.
It is our hope that Libyan authorities will allow Massoud to be tried for this crime in the United States and will provide the support and witnesses necessary for us to bring him to justice.
The investigators say Massoud was the bomb maker. 270 people in the plane and on the ground died in the blast. It's 12:32 on News Radio.
Loaning useful information each weekday. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The Noon Business Hour presented by the Village of Bedford Park. Markets are mixed right now. The Dow up 66. The NASDAQ is down 27 and the S&P up 14 points. Let's see what's going on. The Noon Business Hour again presented by the Village of Bedford Park. David Waddell here, CEO of wealth strategist firm Waddell & Associates. David, it's good to have you here. What do you make of the mixed markets, especially given the fact that the Dow was down several hundred earlier today?
Well, it's going to sound counterintuitive. Thank you for having me on, by the way. It's going to sound counterintuitive. I was kind of happy that the market was down because there's a lot of sort of froth and sentiment out there. Things have been super strong for quite a while, and I think we need to wash some of the euphoria out of the markets. And I thought, you know, this mutation virus in the UK might be something that would just lead some people either not to buy today or sell a little bit. But clearly there's just so much cash on the sidelines. And as people are looking into year end and looking at stimulus and thinking about money flows going forward, there's still a lot of buying appetite out there. So I am glad to see the market higher. But to be honest, I kind of wish it was lower just to help clear out some of this sentiment.
Now, is it good, though, that during a time like this, it would seem the week of Christmas that a lot of people, they're dealing with family, they're still trying to get gifts, you know, they're thinking of other things. So is it good that we're seeing this much activity? I mean, people are expecting there to be some deals and stocks worth buying.
Well, it's hard to bet against a market when the fiscal authorities are willing to throw trillion-dollar checks at it, and you know, money supply is up 30% year over year. So if you've got Congress all in and you've got the Fed all in, you've got a vaccine pulsing through the system, which will unlock all the animal spirits, I mean, it's hard not to be optimistic. So it doesn't really surprise me that there's still, you know, lift beneath this market. And, you know, the most important factor, too, that isn't often discussed is inflation expectations are still nothing. So even though we've got $4 trillion of stimulus that's pumped into the system, 10 years out, people don't expect there to be any inflation whatsoever. So I heard a little bit of the debate around, will Congress do more? There's no disincentive for them not to do more, right? Until inflation shows up, they're basically green-lighted to do as much stimulus as they want. So it's hard to bet against the market with action like that. The only reason I'd pray for a little bit of a downdraft is just so I can get some of my client money in a little bit lower price.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I know. That's what we're all thinking about, right?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think here long term. If we're at a point where you can take literally trillions of these money bombs and move them into the economy, and clearly we need some help right now. There's a lot of people hurting. But the president-elect says that's going to continue into next year. This is just the beginning. He wants more of these stimulus bombs. Is there some point that this either becomes a negative and stops, or you have people in Washington that go, well, if we can do this every year, it's good politically, and we haven't seen any of the inflation or other problems that we thought we might see?
I think that is the most important question of our time. I honestly believe there has been structural change away from fear of deficits and fear of inflation to worrying that we're Japan. And if we're Japan, then you need as much monetary and fiscal support as you can get, and you sort of give up on that fear. You know, the government's not like a person, right? They can actually print the money. If they can print the money and not be punished with inflation and higher interest rates, then the incentive is to print the money. That's what the story in Japan is, and decision makers in Washington may not say it, but they think about it. So I think we are in sort of this, recessions have now been outlawed. You know, in the event that we have another mutated virus, another pandemic event, there'll be plenty of stimulus. And so as long as they're all in, as somebody termed them, the plunge protection team, then yeah, I mean, you just continue to grind higher. And I also think a lot about going back to World War II. I mean, this has been a war, right? And ironically, 400,000 Americans lost their life in service in World War II, and 400,000 Americans will probably lose their lives due to COVID. There was huge fiscal support. There was huge monetary support. And the 50s were the best environment for stock returns of any decade. There's been a lot of improved productivity across the economy. You know, we've sort of shaken the rust off a lot of energy industries. We've incorporated a lot of technologies that we hadn't utilized fully before. So I think profit margins end up being great. So we've sort of got a renaissance happening in the private sector, and then we've got this government plunge protection team that, in my judgment, has sort of outlawed recessions. So it's a very interesting dynamic. But yes, I think deficits are now, you know, fully accepted until there's some sort of reason not to.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating to watch, especially long term. Thank you so much. Good insight. David Waddell, CEO of Waddell & Associates in Nashville. Just ahead, the neighborhood grocery store becoming more popular in the pandemic. The pandemic is causing shoppers to rediscover, or in some cases, discover for the first time, the independent grocery store. Joining us on the ComEd Energy Efficiency Business Line, Ali Marati, restaurant and retail reporter at Crain's Chicago Business. Ali, these are all over the place in a lot of neighborhoods, and so in the pandemic, they're actually finding more customers?
Yeah, for the most part. There's two main things that are going on here, right? So people are changing where they shop and how they shop amid the pandemic, and I was curious what was going to stick, you know, since we're rolling out the vaccine now as people kind of went back to work. But, you know, they're shopping closer to home because they're not going to work for the most part, right, which may lead them to these smaller independent grocery stores. And then additionally, instead of doing multiple grocery trips a week, maybe popping in if you need one or two ingredients, people are doing kind of one big stock up trip a week. So they're really becoming more dependent on these independent grocery stores.
Yeah, I'm wondering if there's something psychological about this, too. I know at the beginning of the pandemic, when everyone was hoarding toilet paper and paper towels and that sort of stuff at the big box stores, I said, oh, let me sneak into my neighborhood store. And sure enough, they had everything that I needed. I wonder if people just think, hey, there's not as many people going to these places. Maybe it's safer.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. That's what a couple of the operators told me, right? Like, first of all, smaller stores means interaction with less people usually. And then also, yeah, a lot of these places were in the early days of the pandemic when you saw the shortages. You know, first it was the toilet paper, the hand sanitizer, then it was baking products, and then it was meat, you know. People will go into these independent grocery stores, maybe find what they needed that they couldn't find at their usual store. And then that sort of won them over and they would keep going.
Is there a chance, because these stores, they need not just the customers now, but they need them after the pandemic. Is there a chance that liking the fact that they're supporting a local business and maybe building relationships with the people there? I mean, what can those businesses do to keep people coming back later?
Yeah, that's a really good point, right? So we are seeing a big sentiment from consumers to shop local across all different industries. So there's that going on. And then there's simply human nature and forming new habits. And will those stick, right? So I looked at some data from McKinsey that found, it was a September survey, and it found that 9% of people have changed their primary grocery store since the pandemic started, and 36% will likely stick with it, which is really interesting, right? And that has gone down a little bit. You know, it used to be that number was up to 14%, you know, and so it has gone down. I think there will be a bit of a shakeout, but these independent grocery stores are working really hard to try to keep these new customers that they've gotten. They see the big opportunity that they have, and they're trying to hang on to it. Now, across the board, grocery sales are up, right? Because people aren't eating out as much. Everybody's at home. Up about 11% at all grocery stores, and independents are in that same range. They're holding their own. They're really happy and proud of themselves, especially because they've all been declared essential, you know, during this major public health crisis, and they're proud of themselves for being able to hold their own. But at the same time, there are challenges that some of the bigger guys don't have because they have the scale, you know. So one thing is online shopping, right? Online shopping experts say that it's here to stay for online shopping for groceries. People are getting used to it now. They're more familiar with it. They've built that into their habits. So for smaller independent stores that don't have the scale of your Whole Foods, or, you know, Whole Foods is a bad example because they're owned by Amazon, but your Mariano's or your Jewel Osco's, right? Online sales can be more expensive and have a lower profit margin. So they've got to figure that out a little bit more. And then they run into supply chain issues as well, which, again, have plagued all grocery stores throughout the pandemic. But for a smaller shop that maybe just has one location, they're competing over the same products with the bigger chains like Mariano's and Jewel. So that is another thing that I talked to one operator at a store in Logan Square, and he was telling me that, you know, they've had to get really creative, sometimes pulling all-nighters, trying to search down products. His example was, you know, he had to buy like 100-pound bags of flour, what everybody was baking, and reportion them into 5-pound bags to sell. Because when you get that new customer in there, you have to have the products that they want or else they're going to go somewhere else. So that's kind of what they're battling against.
Yeah, really, really fascinating stuff. Thanks for all the info. Ali Marotti, restaurants and retail reporter at Crain's Chicago Business. This time tomorrow, Travel Tuesday, just ahead our Monday Stock Picker.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Stock Picker Monday on the Noon Business Hour, sponsored by Wealth Management Group. Ken Crawford is here, portfolio manager at Argent Capital in St. Louis. Ken, it's good to have you on the show. What's your first pick?
First pick, Cisco, is Target. I'm sure familiar with all your listeners, second largest retailer in the U.S. And what we like about Target is they're kind of bridging the gap between bricks and mortar and online with BOPUS, buy online, pick up at store. And their success has been considerable, remarkable. Same-store sales last quarter up over 20%, well above, the most recognizable peer, Walmart. So the company continues to successfully execute, and we like the stock.
And right now you think the stock is a value compared to Walmart stock?
Yeah, it's trading at about a 25% discount on a price-earnings basis. And we think that that deserves to narrow, given Target's very good results.
Okay, Target is the first pick. That is ticker symbol TGT. What's your second pick?
Second pick is another, I'm sure, well-known name to your listeners, Walt Disney. Certainly Disney is being affected by COVID-19. Their resorts, their theme parks, their cruise lines, going to the movies, either being impaired or not happening at all. But their Disney Plus streaming service is doing exceptionally well, and that's got people enthused. So we think if and when there's normalization, people will go back to Disney World, et cetera, and that'll help the company. And in the meanwhile, they're narrowing the gap with Disney Plus relative to Netflix, the clear streaming leader.
Just really showing with Disney here, with Disney Plus, that they have a brand, they have a collection of movies, people love them, and they're willing to pay for them. I mean, they'd get them wherever they can.
That's right. And when you think about it, I mean, you turn on the TV to do what? Watch something. And Disney has been making content for, what, close to 100 years? So it's certainly within the company's wheelhouse.
Yeah, they have lots of product there for sure. Thank you so much, Ken Crawford, portfolio manager at Argent Capital. He's our Monday stock picker this week. His two picks, Target, TGT, and Walt Disney Company. That ticker symbol is DIS. If you missed any part of the Noon Business Hour, you can just go to our stream and skip back to the time you want. There's a pause and rewind function. It works both online and with the radio.com app. You can also get a podcast anytime on the radio.com app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.